For Heart Month this year, we brought on, cardiopulmonary expert Ellen Hillegass. She's a leader in cardiopulm PT. So she joined us talking about what else? Heart Month. It was one of the most listened to episodes in 2019, made the top 12 here on the show.
Heart disease is still the number one killer of men and of women. Many people are walking around with underlying heart disease. We need to be watching vital signs to make sure that we're not working the patient too hard for their underlying condition. And so we really need to see what's going on with their exercise, not just watching the muscle, but watch the cardiac muscle by looking at vital signs, because the heart rate and the blood pressure are the determinants of work on the heart.
Check, 1, 2. All right, to kick off Heart Month, we bring you Ellen Hillegass, a cardiopulmonary educator deeply involved with the cardiopulmonary section of the American Physical Therapy Association, passionate about all things cardio physical therapy. So we bring her on the show and let her loose. Let her tell you what you, and I'm talking to you, as a physical therapist should be doing to pay attention to the heart muscle. Plus, there's something going on right now, giving away some iHeart PT stickers. If you follow us online via social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at PT Pintcast, maybe, just maybe, you can get one of these stickers. They are limited edition. Once they're gone, they're gone. So hit us online, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at PT Pintcast, to grab one of those. And of course, the iHeart PT, the heart anatomically correct, of course, because we're PTs. First round is brought to you by Owens Recovery Science, a single source for PTs looking for personalized blood flow restriction, rehabilitation training, and the equipment you need to apply it. Find them online at owensrecoveryscience.com.
Broadcasting to physical therapists around the world.
It is.
This is the PT Pintcast.
May I introduce...
Please allow me to introduce you to...
Here's your host, physical therapist, Jimmy McKay.
I wanted to have somebody on with some experience. You know, you're a guest the audience already knows. And just wanted you to talk about things that you're passionate about. Thank you for taking your time. I appreciate that.
No problem. Tell me what you want to ask me.
Let's start with vitals are vital. This comes across in social media. It was a hashtag really, really made pretty popular, and it's still got some steam with the cardiopulmonary section of the APTA. And just so the audience knows, Ellen, deeply involved with that section for a long time. And why is that something so important?
So the problem is that we think if we can see things, then we know everything's okay. So when we look at a person, we think they're okay. But you really don't know, especially their blood pressure and their underlying genetics and everything, just by looking at a person. And so by even watching them exercise, we don't know if their heart is really tolerating the exercise. And the reason I emphasize that is because heart disease is still the number one killer of men and of women. Many people are walking around with underlying heart disease. We need to be watching vital signs to make sure that we're not working the patient too hard for their underlying condition. And so we really need to see what's going on with their exercise, not just watching the muscle, but watch the cardiac muscle by looking at vital signs, because the heart rate and the blood pressure are the determinants of work on the heart.
You talk about being the number one killer for men and women. It's just frightening that it's 2019 and we're still talking about that. And a lot of it is knowing about it that can prevent something like that, a death due to a heart condition. Approximately, how long does it take to take someone's vitals? If you're a physical therapist seeing them for a visit, how long do you think it takes to take someone's vitals?
Well, I think even Rich Severin measured this in his students, and I think it takes approximately 2 minutes to 3 minutes.
So two to 3 minutes, and we are striving to be this gateway provider to get people into the healthcare system, and to not take that 2 to 3 minutes, it seems like it's a missed opportunity for us.
Well, we all assume everyone's healthy.
Right.
We assume that our patient that walks in, you know, for back pain is underlying healthy, and they're not. And that's the problem, is that we really don't know. You know, even in the pediatric population, we have problems, congenital defects, underlying defects. And so it doesn't matter who you are. You really need to take vital signs early on when they first come in, and you really need to take it with a bout of exercise or immediately post a bout of exercise, just to make sure that we're doing the right thing. As you said, they're walking in off the street. We're entry into the healthcare profession, and we need to be looking at everything about the patient when we're working with them or the client. Yeah.
What does someone with heart disease look like? You can't spot it, but we make that internal bias that if you're there for low back pain or if you're there for knee pain, I'm not really there to treat that heart issue that I might not even think that you have. But being able to indicate to that patient, hey, maybe you should see your primary care physician because here's what I just found out with that 2 to 3 minutes to check in those vitals. It's a great point.
Right. And actually, they've lowered the blood pressure guidelines. They've lowered the resting blood pressure that they want you to have. And now 140 over 90 is considered hypertensive. The studies showed that there was a 25% decrease in myocardial infarction and stroke by lowering the blood pressure down to 140 over 90 as the cutoff. If it were 120 to 130, you had a lower incidence of MI and stroke. Now that's significant. That's really significant. I certainly don't want to end up with a stroke or a heart attack.
And those things easily preventable if we find out about them. And a PT, I'd love for PT to be that gateway provider that can show some added value by being able to have some stories that come out in 2019, you know, releasing this episode in Heart Month, February, and have some stories in 2019 where it starts with something like, I went to see my physical therapist for X and then found out that I had a heart condition and now I'm on the road to recovery with that. Those are fantastic stories to share in and out of the profession.
Yeah, I would love to see that. I'd also love to see that physical therapist picked up that I have a risk for heart disease and I'm now making changes in my lifestyle. You know, that would be great instead of, oh, I went to cardiac rehab because I had to make changes in my lifestyle because I had a heart attack or I had bypass surgery or an angioplasty. Prevention is what we should be practicing.
How do you relay this information when you're talking with students? Been an educator for a long time. When you're talking with a new PT or someone just entering the profession, how do you bring this up?
What you really have to emphasize is that everyone has a heart and at least one lung. What you want them to realize is that their patients may be coming in to see them for some other reason, but prevention is a key aspect of what we do. And so it never hurts to ask the questions and to take the vital signs, to actually look for other things and help them with prevention. You have to transfer the knowledge. They look at the patient like you're a knee patient or you have a shoulder problem. But then what you want them to realize is that you want to ask the risk factors for heart disease and see if they do regular activity, do they watch their blood pressure? Do they keep their blood sugars under control? Especially if they're talking about a population that's getting into the 40s, 50s, and 60s, where we're all of a sudden getting diagnosed with disease, like diabetes is adult onset, is a key factor. Seeing hypertension now when they're in their middle ages, and make corrections then before they have the chronic disease. You kind of have to transfer their knowledge. You have to talk about what they come in for and then ways that they can find out about their risk for disease. And that's how I do it, because if you just talk cardiopulmonary, they're going to coordinate off into one little box. And you've got to bring it into real life and into their real patients. Like that patient that has pain, what do you think their blood pressure is doing with pain? And that patient who has back problems and is really high stressed because he has so much work and he has so much family, and he's relaying that his father passed away young and he doesn't have parents to help out. Well, why? Did they have heart disease, you know? Or even if they had cancer, we should be asking them to doing the cancer screenings as well. Getting into the patient and their family can help us understand the genetics as well as the patient and their lifestyle.
Yeah, we like to call ourselves movement experts. I love how you brought up that patient with knee pain. What do you think that blood pressure is doing? Do you think they're going to want to move if their blood pressure is an issue and how they feel, their response to exercise is impaired every time they go to do the things that we're prescribing? If we're not even thinking about that, that's on us. That's on the profession.
You're right. And the movement therapist, that's the other thing that I bring up. What happens when they move? Can the heart tolerate the movement? And that's what I emphasize to them is that we are movement therapists, but we have to make sure we're doing it safely and not just guarding the patient, but what are the hemodynamics? What's the heart rate, blood pressure response with the movement? And we want to teach them to chronically move. We talk about aging and we talk about there's more disease when you're older. Well, there might not be if we took care of ourselves. So are all older people the same? Do they all have high blood pressure? Do they all have diabetes? Or have some of those people been active? What's their prior level of function? Have they been active? And so maybe they don't have hypertension. Maybe they don't have obesity, diabetes. And so they're going to age more gracefully and they're going to keep moving.
And this gets into what we're striving to be even better at, which is educating. Educating throughout the lifespan to make sure that not all older adults are the same. It has a lot to do with their prior level of function.
But we do know that heart disease does increase with age, but it also happens with their movement. So you look at somebody who's pretty active and older, you have a less of a risk if they don't have those other risk factors. So the active people are probably not smoking, hopefully. And activity decreases systolic and diastolic blood pressure. So that should help with the lowering of the blood pressure. It helps with the blood vessels. We see greater reactivity of the blood vessels when you are active. So we're seeing people who are active and older have less risk for heart disease if they don't have the genetics and the other lifestyle factors. It's not aging. It's really activity and the lifestyle factors that make a difference. We can see young people having heart disease just as much as we see old people have heart disease. If they're sitting in front of the computer or sitting in front of the video games, if they have genetics, if they have horrible lifestyles, smoking, wrong eating, obesity, we can see just as many young people as old people have heart disease with the way our activity level is decreased these days with all our technology.
As we mentioned at the top of the show, 2 to 3 minutes seems well worth it in terms of time well spent.
Oh, it is. There was actually a physical therapist who did a study on her students. They brought in patients from the community and they said, okay, look at all of them. Which ones do you think had high blood pressure? And then they went and measured the blood pressure. And guess what they found from that study? You can't tell what a person's blood pressure is by looking at them. So we really just need to pull that out and take it.
It's our bias as therapists is thinking that a person with a heart condition looks a certain way when in fact they don't.
Now's a good time to grab a fresh one. The PT Pinecast will be right back.
All right, show today brought to you by the Brooks Institute of Higher Learning, an innovator in providing advanced post-professional education. Brooks IHL offering continuing education courses in numerous specialty areas, 6 PT residency programs, an OMPT fellowship, as well as challenging but rewarding internships. The IHL specializes in the translation of information from evidence to patient management. Learn what they can do for you to support your professional development at brooksihl.org.
The show, as always, been brought to you by Aureus Medical Staffing, the leaders in travel physical therapy. Was just out at the CSM, the Combined Sections meeting with the staff from Aureus, answering all sorts of questions about travel PT. I think people are finally starting to get it. If you're a seasoned clinician, you want to try traveling, you can do it. If you're a new grad, Aureus has programs to get you into a travel assignment to make sure it works for you. You can do that. Fresh PT, seasoned clinician, whatever you got. AureusMedical.com with positions all over the U.S. Find them online at AureusMedical.com.
And we're back.
Let's get back to the show.
Being deeply rooted in the cardiopulmonary section, how do you celebrate Heart Month? What do you do?
Well, first of all, I wear red on Go Red Day because one of the things is we really don't identify heart disease in women. It's horrible. Somehow, October, pink month, everything's pink. And people understand pink with breast cancer. But in February, people wear red one day, and then that's it. Right. And we really don't get heart disease in women because we haven't made a significant impact that we should be making. As you said, it's 2019. And when did the Framingham study come out about heart disease? In the 1970s. That's pitiful. I celebrate by wearing red, and I celebrate by trying to talk about heart disease with anybody that I know and refreshing it out there. And then I have a web-based education company, and we try and do cardiopulmonary things with our web-based education company to try and get people to be aware of cardiac disease and prevention.
Go Red Day this year in 2019, Friday, February 1st, to kick off February, which of course is Heart Month. Love that you're active with it and good to see you spreading the word. Any other resources through your education company or with the APTA that you'd suggest a PT who's now thinking, hey, I don't do this enough and I should, where would you send them?
Well, actually, you can go online and you can actually take a risk factor profile, Framingham risk factor profile, and you can see your risk. If you even are listed as moderate risk, now's the time to make some changes. That would be the key thing, is start to make the changes. Make it a new year kind of thing. Make it the month of February and then continue it on. Making those changes, watching your blood pressure, watching your blood sugar if you have a tendency or if you have genetics, getting out and exercising, cutting the saturated fat out of the diet, but not loading up on carbs either, getting your cholesterol checked. That would be a key thing. Some of these health fairs, you can have those things checked. I think a key thing for everyone is to really look at your stress and figure out a way to do some kind of stress management. Exercise is a great stress management for me, but some kind of stress management, because we have stress everywhere in our lives. And decreasing our stress, because it only raises your blood pressure. It only changes everything. Big factor on some of the heart disease things.
Ellen Hillegass, appreciate you taking your time out. Working with your own organization, you can find out more there. It's educationresourcesinc.com is where you can find more about her. Also, still teaching, Toro, West Carolina. Mercer, still doing that stuff?
Not Toro. My colleague that I trained is now a board-certified specialist, and he's teaching there.
That's great.
Western Carolina and Mercer. My website is ptcardioed.com. We do even entry-level curriculum to try and help those curriculums that don't have the cardiopulmonary content that they really need to be providing. So we're trying to improve cardiopulmonary practice and education throughout the profession.
Definitely wanted to have you on here to celebrate Heart Month. Ellen, are you ready for three questions?
Sure.
On the hot seat with three questions on the PT Pinecast.
All right. Three questions brought to you by our sponsors, Aureus Medical Staffing. They've been with us since the beginning, letting you do what you want to do, which is PT, where you want to do it. They have travel assignments in all 50 states, Alaska, Maine, Florida, California, and everything pretty much in between. Yes, Hawaii as well. People always want to ask. Yes, you can go be a PT in Hawaii. They need to move, and they need some PTs out there as well. So check them out at AureusMedical.com for more information. First question, Ellen, on three questions. Where is somewhere in the U.S. that you'd want to go and practice PT if you had a choice? You got carte blanche. You can go anywhere you want. Where do you wind up?
I would really like to do California. I did an internship there, and I loved it because I'd run on the beach, and I'd see all the firemen and policemen exercising there, too. And I think there's a lot more of that lifestyle, except for the driving.
Yeah.
Better lifestyle in California.
I literally flew in from LA yesterday morning, and it was fantastic out there. But yeah, that they're just in love with their cars out there. That's their thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Second question on three questions. What's something that you've read recently? Could be an article, a blog, a book, something that really inspired you.
Oh, my goodness. Actually, you're going to laugh. This isn't a book. This was a show. I got turned on to Mrs. Maisel.
Oh, yeah, the marvelous Miss Maisel.
And what I loved about it is the comedy and how she got into comedy. And what I love about it is the growth in women. I also watched Ruth Ginsburg documentary. I watched it on the plane. And what I loved about both of those is the progress women have made. And these key people, not that she was a key person, but I mean, in the show, what she did for women and what Ruth Ginsburg has done for women and for minorities and discrimination and all sorts of things. And Ruth Ginsburg probably made more of an impression, but it started with Mrs. Maisel. I saw that first, and then I saw Ruth Ginsburg.
the notorious RBG. But yeah, I don't know, the fact that there is a female lead character who's actually funny, which is somewhere that female characters are definitely lacking in. Good to see those things. And the Notorious RBG, that documentary, definitely watch that because there's some stuff I didn't know about. There's some stuff, the history that was going on. Yeah, it was great. Last question on three questions is, who is someone the audience should know more about?
I'm going to tell you, I think you should know more about Angela Campbell. She just became president of the cardiopulmonary section. She has been a go-getter behind the scenes forever. But she's a driving force in the cardiopulmonary section. She has ideas all the time about growth and her plan for growing the section and growing people in the section. So one of the things is that she's expanding the committees to have like 20 people on them to try and include more people and get more involvement and more say, where instead of having one person giving the say, more of these up-and-coming cardiopulmonary PTs are going to be now more involved in the section. So Angela Campbell, she's an educator at Springfield College. She's also a board-certified clinician, and she has never-ending energy.
All right, you're off the hot seat. That's three questions again, brought to you by our friends at Arias Medical Staffing. Those guys, the experts on travel PT. So if you're thinking about, you know, we talk about burnout a little bit in the profession, you know, changing your scenery, as you mentioned. Hey, go to the beach and change it up a little bit. Don't get burned down this profession. You know, change the scenery, and they have short-term and long-term assignments that you can jump onto. And again, no commitment, even if you just want to take a look at where they have positions. AURUSmedical.com. Alan, last thing we do on the show is the parting shot.
This is the parting shot.
The parting shot is brought to you by Rock Tape. They're more than just a tape company, they're a movement company. Rock Tape helps athletes of every level go stronger, longer with the best kinesiology tape, cutting edge education, and fitness support products. Rock Tape wants people to move more and move better. Find them online at rocktape.com/medical.
One thing you'd leave the audience of physical therapists with that we're listening to this in Heart Month, what's your last thought?
My last thought is, as therapists, we do have a lot of burnout. We do have a lot of stresses. Take care of yourself so you yourself don't end up with a disease. So that means behavioral modification, stress reduction, getting more active, fitting it in somewhere, and taking care of yourself so you don't get the burnout.
Yeah, put your mask on first, as they say, especially in healthcare, taking care
of
yourself.
And take your own vital signs.
And you know what? As you were saying this, my mom has actually been on me. What's your cholesterol? And I keep saying, I'll get it checked. All right, you push me over the edge. I'll make sure I get that done. Heart Month.
Get it
done. I'll make sure I get it done. Ellen Hillegas, appreciate you taking some time out in Heart Month for us to talk with us on the show.
Okay, well, thanks, Jimmy. Enjoyed talking to you.
The PT Pinecast is a product of PT Pinecast LLC. It is hosted and produced by PT Pinecast CEO Jim McKay and CBO Sky Donovan from Marymount University. We talk PT, drink beer, and record it. This has been another pour from the PT Pinecast. The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. More on the show at ptpinecast.com.